I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Bush and Richie here with your Daily Takeaway podcast. One of the staples of Christmas food has to be the Terry's Chocolate Orange. Fan of the Terry's Chocolate Orange?
Yeah, you can't go wrong with a Terry's Chocolate Orange.
I love a Terry's Chocolate Orange, but I do feel that something I've experienced today, I feel like I've morphed into you.
Why? What's going on?
You know how you
bought a board game, hidden it from your partner.
What about your partner?
Hidden it.
Oh, right. Okay. Cool.
You know, nothing sinister.
Fair enough. You know how you're not a fan of when a food or a drink that is famous for doing something suddenly changes away from the main?
Yeah, Marmite are the worst. I like Marmite, but they're always mucking around with their flavours. Keep it simple, straightforward. The amount of times I've bought what I thought was a normal bottle of Coke and it's got, like, vanilla stuck in it or something.
So today, I've opened in the studio a Terry's Chocolate Orange.
Yes, I heard the whack during the second hour of the show.
I give it a big old whack. It's not a Terry's Chocolate Orange. It's caramel flavour.
But is it still made by Terry's?
It's still...
Is it under the Terry's umbrella?
Yeah, so let me pick it up. Here we go. Let's be forensic about this. It's made by Terry's. They're actually calling it a chocolate caramel, but it's still in the form of the orange shape and the segments come out.
Because it could have been any shape if it's just a caramel.
Exactly.
Like, What is a caramel? If you think about this in your minds now, dear listeners, we say a caramel. What does that look like? It's almost like a platonic Plato's form.
Well, there's two ways of looking at this. You could look at a caramel and say it's a Cadbury's caramel bar, because that's a caramel, then that's not Terry's.
Okay, yeah.
Or you could be very literal about it, and caramel is heated up sugar in a pan.
Because I see a caramel as like, you know, like, I always have the same issue when you think about your soul. Do you think your soul is like you, but see-through, or a candle?
Wow, that's gone deep.
Do you know what I mean, though? For years, I thought, when people talked about your soul, I thought, well, it's just going to be you, isn't it? Like Randall and Hopkirk deceased, but just walking around doing the same stuff, but on a different plane. And then when I spoke to someone and they said their soul, they thought their soul was like a candle, I was like, I don't want everlasting life if it's just going to be a candle. That's awful, isn't it?
I've always imagined my soul to look a little bit like Will O' the Wisp.
Okay, so slightly well-to-do... do you mean Will O' the Wisp the cartoon? Like, oh, hello.
Yeah, yes, okay. Now you're thinking that my soul looks like Kenneth Williams.
That's what I was trying to describe him in a way that wasn't going to get me cancelled. Richie, I've been expecting you. Oh, I say. How do we get onto the subject?
I was talking about a Terry's chocolate caramel.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
So do you know what? I've had a very super cute, proud morning this morning. It was my middle daughter Thea's Christmas play or nativity. God bless her. She's 7. She's one of the narrators. She did very well. She's been practicing her lines every morning on the school run. I was kind of really nervous for her as well. Because you know when the weirdest bit when you're a parent is filing in and they're all sitting there waiting for you. Mm. And I could tell straight away that she was nervous. But she was brilliant. And there was like kids dressed as donkeys and snowmen and angels and shepherds and kings and all this kind of thing. And I told her to kind of savour it and enjoy it rather than being nervous about it, because you only perform in a finite number of school nativities.
Correct.
In your life, don't you? And when you're a grown-up, suddenly people frown about you dressing up as the Virgin Mary. Do you know what I mean? It's not the same. The game goes.
The game does go very quickly.
So look, everyone listening right now has at some point peaked with a particular nativity role, and it kind of stays with you. It's part of your DNA. So in honour of Thea's performance earlier on at school, so we'll ask this question first hour of home time tonight. What was your most high-profile school nativity role?
I peaked with being A Wise Man's Helper, which I can remember thinking, this is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. What a great role. And it was only as I got a little bit older and began to understand the scriptures a little bit more that I realised there was no helper for any of the wise men. It was a created role just to keep me happy.
So were they, so the wise men, you got the kings, you were are they the same guys?
They're the same people, yeah.
But like kings would have had like a you're essentially like a slave or something.
I was really just stood behind, just making sure that it wasn't dropping anything.
Were you carrying another child in a sedan chair? So there you go, that's pretty good role. You know, part
I thought
of the,
it was.
For me, I was Joseph once.
What? Well, I mean, let's close this down now.
Well, Joe, I refused to give Mary a peck on the cheek at the end of the... How times have changed.
Well, not really, if you think about the actual nativity story.
What are you saying?
Well, you know, no peck on the cheek, really, was there?
Oh, no, it was Immaculate Conception.
Exactly, yeah.
What are you saying?
Well, well done.
What else? What have you heard? So we put it to you. What was your most high-profile school nativity role, please? We're nearly done for Christmas. We're falling apart over here.
Now, Thea obviously has a gift getting such a great role.
What a role that was.
Not everybody has that gift, as Nate would say here. I was so rubbish at everything on stage, I was only allowed once to press stop on the tape deck for the music.
Wow. So he's kind of not even on stage. Would you say he's on stage?
No, no. I mean, you know, if that was the Oscars, you're looking at getting an award for, you know, best use of sound, aren't you?
That bit at the beginning they don't put on the normal telly.
Exactly,
you
yeah.
can watch it online. That's again, it kind of defines you, though, do you know what I mean? Maybe they've gone on to have a career in tech. Amy in Edinburgh says, guys, my highest, most exciting role was the Angel Gabriel. She had a satin costume, included a cold school hall, age 6. Yet I still remember the line, I bring you good news, a baby has been born. Peak acting in my repertoire.
Fantastic. Look at the amateur psychology in this. Matt in Manchester says, I didn't get a high profile role, but in year 5, my mum was my teacher.
Ooh.
I thought Joseph was in the bag. I ended up being the donkey seller, and it ruined Christmas.
Again, another made-up role.
It is. You've got to think about Matt's mum here being the teacher. She's obviously got to look at being anti-nepotism, one would imagine, which is why he gets such a bad role.
But think of how they would have had to add into the story of baby Jesus.
Yes.
A backstory about buying the donkey in the first place. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This text here from Marcus says, my key role in the nativity was being a sound man and holding a fake microphone the whole play. It was a modern take on the nativity, so no speaking part, but was on stage the whole time. It's like a little tiny Nick Broom, that fella.
George, tell us about your role.
Well, I actually ended up being baby Jesus.
You?
Nursery, so I was about 3 years old.
Wow, so you were such a little tiny person, they thought George would be perfect for baby Jesus. What were you wearing? What was your kit?
Now that would be telling, gentlemen. I can't tell you that. No, just like a smock, I suppose, swaddling clothes, as you would call it.
Good old swaddling clothes.
I would venture to say, as much as it is the starring role, there's not a great... I don't want to be slurring you here, George. Not a great deal of acting that the baby Jesus would have to do in the nativity play. Just got to lie there.
I'd say that's a touch of jealousy going on there, really, I'd say. You know, it's the most important role of all.
It's a really good point, and I've read the reviews as George's baby Jesus. 5-star across the board. It's incredible.
thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
No problem. No one sits in a basket the way George did back then.
I think there was only 1-star above the stable, if you look carefully.
Oh, very good point.
Thank you.
Ouch.
Good to speak to you, George. Take it easy. George, actually, out of interest, George, we're wondering whether some of these roles have led into later work for people. What do you do now?
I'm a property developer and look after property. So I do sometimes not have to do that when I'm looking at, after clients.
Okay, brilliant. Well, listen, good to speak to you, man. Take it easy.
Cheers, George.
You take it. Thank you very much, guys. You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Lucy in Walsall's core nativity memory was being a black-eyed sheep, nicknamed because the day before nativity, she fell off her chair at the dinner table, smacked the eye on the corner of the table. Still talk about it now, she says, and I'm 24.
And she still is in touch with Will I Am to this day. There's a little joke there.
I like that.
Thanks very much. Foz says, gents, I had a few starring roles, from donkey to wise man, but obviously my most notable role was when I was a bush one year. Yes, a bush, he says. He says, obviously I was great as well. Weird, it's been like a bit of scenery, but he did a good job. Adam says, Hi, guys. I had the starring role of King Herod's bodyguard. Nearly said the wrong thing there. That's a different take on it. Which involved me standing behind him in a potato sack looking more like a scarecrow than a bodyguard. King Herod doesn't need a bodyguard. He's absolutely intimidating.
Very much so.
It's like Sly from the Thundercats.
Suzanne, what's your memory?
Being a mouse in the Christmas Nativity play.
Now, I think we've shown, we said earlier on, quite good knowledge of the scriptures and the Bible.
Yes.
Neither of us can kind of remember a mouse appearing in the story of the Nativity. Can you just fill us in on that, please, Suzanne?
No. I think it was a bit like your wise man's assistant role.
Ah, right.
Really just a way of making sure that every child had a role. And as I had no acting ability and mice don't speak, I think that was probably why I was chosen to be a mouse. I guess if you take it logically, it was in a stable. I imagine there would be mice in a stable.
Oh, yeah.
So, except that I was a white mouse, like the ones you get in labs. I'm not quite sure what that was doing there, but you know, hey, I added to the atmosphere.
I think it's a fair point. You'd have a mouse in a stable, but I don't think it'd be there long when you consider all the other animals that would naturally be in there.
Yeah, was there any other animals?
Trodden on, wouldn't it?
Were any other animals knocking around in the stable with you, Suzanne?
Oh, massive menagerie! Yeah, there was a cow. There was I think there was a goat. There were definitely sheep. But yes, I mean, but they were all children dressed up. Obviously, they weren't actual animals. So I think really it was just kind of like, oh, now we've run out of roles and we haven't got anything for Suzanne. What are we going to do? What else would you find in a stable? I don't know. Mice? Okay, let's give her that one.
And Suzanne, we're trying to, you know, look at this as a looking into the future in terms of what you have ended up doing as a job. What do you do now, Suzanne?
Weirdly, I am a screenwriter, but I don't actually write films about mice. But maybe I should.
Wow. I mean, you could kind of complete the whole arc here and almost sort of write Nativity 4 after the initial trilogy with Mr. Poppy and have a mouse in there.
Exactly. I mean, I maybe need to watch the whole trilogy again to see if there was a mouse in there.
I'm pretty sure there is. I'm sure. Suzanne, please come back to us on this with a rough draft by the end of the week. Is that okay?
Yes, I'm very good at that. No worries.
Lovely to speak to you. Take care.
Thank you.
Chris is in Horsham, ever so proud of his son 20 years ago, who was a rock. Yeah. Dressed in grey, crouching down, Mary and Joseph jumping over him on their way to Nazareth.
That's good. He would have been a major part of that. Do you know what I mean? And not a lot of people talk about the rocks that you're on your way to Nazareth.
No, that's a very good point.
It's like Cheddar Gorge. This text here says, hi Bush, hi Richie. I was a badger in my Christmas nativity at school. Not even sure if there are badgers in Jerusalem. Sounds like a Katie Melua song. But there we go, says Jake. He's quite philosophical about it. Nick Knack here. My dad is saying he played the innkeeper in the school nativity play. One simple job that he messed up when Joseph asked, is there any room? He simply said, yes, come on in. Didn't play hard to get. Fair enough.
We got Kate hanging on. Tell us about your son.
Yeah, he was a cracked bauble.
So your son was a cracked bauble?
Yeah.
How does that work?
I've no idea. It wasn't a nativity. It was one about broken presents, I think, and he was a cracked bauble. Wow, it was a long time ago. It was about 24 years ago now. So,
how did he feel about being a cracked bauble?
I don't know. I never forget that he was a cracked bauble. So, yeah, bless him.
What did you have to make him as an outfit for him being a cracked bauble?
Oh, my goodness. I have no idea. I think they must have done him a costume. I really can't remember. It was a long time ago. I'll just never forget it. Never forget. I've never ever heard of anyone else being a cracked bauble in a Christmas play before. So.
No, I'm sure you are proud of your son, James. but was he able to overcome this hurdle in his acting career? What does James go on to do?
Not a lot.
Once a crack bauble, always a crack bauble. That's what I say.
Yes. You never quite threw off the name of being a cracked bauble, I don't think. So.
It does follow you around, despite how many times you might move. Tell me about it. Lovely to speak to you, Kate. Yeah.
And you. Thank you very much.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
Not just any Tuesday night, very exciting Tuesday night. I got in today and was told I'd received a parcel.
Ooh.
Yes.
Love that. Who told you that you received a parcel?
So I got in, got a message from our post room saying there's a parcel, please come to collect.
Oh, brilliant.
So I gleefully skipped on down there, was given the parcel straight away and brought it back to the studio to open up, and was even more excited when I opened it up and inside was a Cadbury Mini Egg Easter Egg.
Oh, okay, that's pretty good, because you like those, right? They're your favourite.
I love Mini Eggs, absolutely love Mini Eggs. I always, when they start being on sale in January, I store them up over those spring months so that I can enjoy them, so that once Easter's done and dusted, I'm not without them for too long.
Like a confectionery squirrel.
You got it, exactly that. Two bags of Mini Eggs in there as well, and a little letter from a listener called Marie, who said that he talked about them on the show, you'll enjoy this, and sent it as a gift.
We've got the best listeners in the world.
We really have.
What a lovely thing to do.
And then I looked carefully and I looked at the postmark, because I was thinking, oh, maybe the Easter eggs are out in the shops. I've missed them already. And the postmark, it was posted April 2024.
Oh, my word. Really?
Posted April 2024. And then I'm thinking, this is taking a while to get here.
Yeah.
So then I looked at the Easter egg, and the Easter egg and the Mini Eggs went out of date May 2024.
That must have been like a shot to the heart for you. Yeah. The excitement of opening up, like the suitcase in Pulp Fiction, the gold glow on your face.
I know.
I mean, did you try and eat them all?
No, over a year and a half out of... I don't eat stuff if it's gone 1 hour past its best before date.
I can see a compensation face photo of you in the local paper holding up the box. Man gets Easter egg delivered a year late.
So to listener Marie, thank you very much. But I mean, it's arrived a year and a half late and a year and a half out of date.
Now, the interesting thing about this situation is that you didn't know they were coming.
No.
So you've not been like, you've not had that on your mind.
No.
But they've done turned up ridiculously late.
Have you ever had a serious delay on delivery?
The only thing that I've waited ages for and it got a bit ridiculous is, like, have you ever kickstarted anything?
No.
Kickstarter is this thing where you kind of chip in at ground level.
Yeah.
Okay, so everyone chips in a certain amount and they don't start making it until they've raised enough money to fund it.
Nice idea.
So I bought some, I'm so boring, modular board game shelves. Oh, sorry, I feel sick even hearing myself. And I bought these things. I thought, this is they're called like Dice Throne or something like that. This is going to be the answer to my kind of scruffy board game collection.
Yeah.
And honest to God, I think it was like 2 years before they arrived. And by the time they did arrive, I'd forgotten that I even ordered them in the first place. Buying stuff like that is like having a few wines when you're on eBay. You can't remember ordering it.
If you have suffered a serious delay in delivery, like Bush has with his modular board games, and me with my year and a half out of date Easter eggs that I didn't even know were coming, share yours, please. The worst part of this whole episode of the mysterious Marie, who was sent a year and a half ago, this mini egg Easter egg and the mini eggs. No details of the sender.
So she didn't even give her address or email or anything?
No, oh, just really? A lovely little note saying, heard you enjoy these, do enjoy. So no way of getting back and saying, hey, these have come a year and a half late. So I'm kind of hoping that person is still listening a year and a half on, because otherwise they would have sent it and thought, well, nothing. No mention of it on air. How rude. And might have switched to something else.
Sat here just eating it and scrunching it up and chucking it in the bin without even being thankful. Yeah. It's like painting one of them pebbles that say, have a great day.
Yes.
And then someone not emailing you say, I found your pebble. Thanks very much. It's just like that, isn't it? So why are they sending that to you? And was there anything in there for me in the parcel?
It was addressed specifically just to me.
Oh, right.
And the note said, heard how much you love mini eggs. Enjoy this.
So there wasn't like a Caramac in there for Bush or anything?
Nothing for you, no.
So it's just Maria seems to be quite obsessed with you, if anything. she's trying to woo you by chocolate.
What, mini eggs? Like some sort of little trail, like a bird to a... like a feeding table or something.
Hansel and Gretel. Tiny little bits of chocolate.
Well, it's not going to work without a date chocolate, is it?
Marie, mate, it was a year behind.
Have we heard from Marie?
I've had a look on the wires in our email, hometime@absoluteradio.co.uk. I don't want to sound like one of those people they turn to on Watchdog. As of yet, we've heard nothing.
this text. I once had an email about a pre-booked flight with a budget airline.
Oh.
They cancelled the flight and issued refunds. This was in June 2021. After asking where my £140 was, I eventually gave up after a few months. I forgot about it completely and then received the refund eventually in October 2024.
Wow. That is unbelievable. It's no mini eggs, but hey, that's unbelievable.
Absolute Radio, the Daily Takeaway.
That is it for today's. Do you know what? Will O' the Wisp was a fantastic show. We were talking about it at the beginning.
Do you know the weird thing is about Will O' the Wisp, right? I do this Scarred for Life podcast and we get loads of people suggesting that as something that terrified them as a kid.
Really?
Because it was quite dark. It was weird, man.
Evil Edna was you know, the scary character in it. I didn't think the fairy called? Mavis Tuffet or something?
Something like that. It was all, like, in the woods. It reminded me of, like, you know, like, down the side of railway embankments when you get, like, stuff in the hedges and that. It's just not right.
That's the end of this episode.
That is it.